1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah, we left off with him taking care of a widow in Zarephath, and her son died, and Elijah would, with the power of God, raise him to life again. In the conclusion of that chapter, the woman would say, "I know by this you're a man of God." We go into chapter 18, we have a different scene. God now has a work for Elijah to do. He's been in hiding from the nation of Israel for 3.5 years. There's been a famine, an extreme famine, a sore famine, the Bible says. The kind of famine, well, there hadn't been rain in 3.5 years. The kind of famine that not people, it wasn't just people starving, it was animals starving. And, but it's time for Elijah to return. So if you're able to stand, let's go ahead and look at verses 1 and 2 initially. 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Now, before rain ever arrives in Israel, and before the message of rain is ever delivered, Elijah has an appointment with two different men and the nation of Israel. And there would be some prerequisites before rain would ever come. It's a message of good news. I mean, people are starving. The land is so arid that they can't produce. No rain for 3.5 years, and now he has this message, it's going to rain. But we don't even hear about rain. We don't even hear about rain until verse 41. We hear about a lot of other things. And it's important that we get those other things. Because if you want rain in your life, and I want rain in my life, I think I need to hear this stuff. If you're going through a spiritual drought. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll jump into this. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us, instruct us, guide us, open our eyes to your word. Help us to be consumed with your will. Help us, Father, to be fearless when it comes to your purpose, your responsibility, and duty for our lives. We are grateful for the privilege to be able to be a light for you. We are grateful for the grace you've shown us. We are thankful, Lord, for your mercy that is new morning by morning. Now help us this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, so who is Elijah supposed to meet according to those first two verses? Ahab. He's supposed to meet Ahab. Yet in the next few scriptures that we're going to read, we're going to find that he doesn't meet Ahab initially. He meets another character. He meets a man by the name of Obadiah. And so I want us to look at these passages of Scripture here. In verse 3, the Bible says, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." I want to pause here and say this. Once again, there's nothing in Scripture accidentally. God has a plan for everything, and God wants us to know something about Obadiah. So he has this message to go show himself to Ahab, and he's going to tell Israel, it's going to rain, but there are a number of things that need to take place first. And God wants us to learn something about Obadiah. And we are going to learn some things about Obadiah. One of the first things we learn as we look at verse 3 in regards to Obadiah, he greatly feared the Lord. We see his certification. I kind of alliterated this. his certification, not by man, but by God. Now, I have read some commentaries, and even Scofield's notes speaks or frowns on Obadiah. But God doesn't seem to frown on Obadiah. God's word says that Obadiah greatly feared the Lord. In verse 4, the Bible says this, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." It looks to me like he had a faith that worked. He didn't just fear the Lord, but he honored the Lord in taking care of the prophets of God. Thus far, I see no reason, other than the fact that he's working for a wicked king. We'll get to that in just a moment. Other than that fact, I see no reason for him to be condemned by Scofield. I don't know why Scofield does that. I like a lot of his notes, but I don't agree with all of them. Thus far, we see his certification by God. He's a man. By the way, we need to understand this. God knows if you fear him or not. God knows. God knows your heart for the Lord. God knows my heart for the Lord. God knows if you're genuinely sincere and concerned about truth, about his work, about his glory. God knows that. I'm so grateful for that, and you need to be grateful for that. And by the way, sometimes other people, they may not see that in you, but hey, listen, if it's there, God knows it. Over and over, seven times, the Lord said to all seven churches, "I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works." That can be a good thing. It can also be kind of a scary thing. You haven't heard me say this in a long time, but I used to do this every now and then as we would dismiss. I'd say, "Now, God bless you. I hope you all reap what you sow." I don't know if I've done that in a while. That can be a good thing, but it can also be a scary thing. Y'all with me? And by the way, I still wish you God bless you. I hope you reap what you sow. I still, because we will. I can't help it. There's a little bit of smart aleck in me that has to come out now and then. Now, we see his certification from the Lord. He is a man of faith. But now we see his occupation. His occupation. I wanted to mention his certification first. We see his occupation. Once again, verse 3, "And Ahab called Obadiah," which was the what? Governor. Not of the land, but of his house. Obadiah apparently was responsible for Ahab's sustenance, his supplies, and things like that. Now, I got to say this. He must have been a trusted man. Because it can't be because of his wickedness he got the job. There must have been something in him. By the way, even ungodly people want people with integrity to work for them. Even ungodly people want somebody they can trust. They sure do. We see he is Ahab's governor. He governs Ahab's house. Now here's something you need to understand. Ahab, he's the king of Israel, and we know he's an ungodly king, and his wife is even more wicked than him. What a horrible person to work for. And yet, he's in a position, he's working for a man who is in a position of great, great influence. Hey, aren't you glad God has some people up there even when there's ungodly leadership? He always has. In the days of Jacob, God put Joseph in Egypt. In the days of Ahasuerus, God put Esther and Mordecai in the Persian palace. In the days when Babylon ruled over the whole world, God put Daniel. God always said, and by the way, I find it in Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 26, Paul mentions that even in Caesar's palace, the word of the Lord is manifest, meaning it's being received. There are people in the palace who are receiving the word of God. Now, see, I look, and I'm not real happy about the elections. I'll just be frank with you. I would have liked to have seen the red wave. Nothing I can do about that. I know God's in control, and I know God has people where he wants people. But anyways, we see his occupation. His occupation. God had Obadiah there. By the way, there are 100 prophets that were thankful that he was there. Hello? 100 prophets that were thankful. Somebody was there that could help them. Couldn't help all of them. A number of them were executed by Jezebel. We'll read about that later in this chapter. But we find that 100 of them were rescued. So now we move on to verses 5 through 7. Obadiah's revelation. His revelation. Look at verse 5. So, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto... So, they've left the palace. There's been a drought. There's no food. There's no water. The animals are starving, and they've only got a few horses left. And so they're going to go out, and they're going to look for grass, for ground, for pasture. He calls them. He says, now, where am I at here? Verse 5. Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. I want to pause because I understand the actual context of our reading right there. But once again, there's a spiritual application to everything we read in the Scripture. And I find it very significant that as Ahab and Obadiah have left the palace to look for pasture, they come to a place where Ahab says to Obadiah, we're going to divide up the land and we're going to see if we can find any grass that will take care of the animals. And God wants us to know. God says it in his word. He uses this term, and I love the term because I can get it. I grasp it. He says, Ahab went one way. Now we're talking about, this is before Obadiah meets Elijah. Because when Obadiah meets Elijah, he's going to get him a revelation. He's going to get him a message from God. He's going to hear something that, and I will get to it, that only God could deliver. But until then, until this takes place, he doesn't meet Elijah. What takes place prior to him meeting Elijah? What takes place prior to him getting this spiritual vision? What takes place prior to him getting this spiritual discernment? This spiritual understanding? What takes place prior to that? The Bible says Ahab went one way and he went another way. I find that significant because God's people should never be going the same way as the world. And the reason a lot of God's people don't have spiritual discernment is because they're going the same way as the world. You want to start getting things out of your Bible that you never got before? You're going to have to understand there are some things in the world that I'm not supposed to have any part of. And I'm not supposed to allow that stuff in my brain and my skull. And when you make that decision to... And I understand that context, but I'm just telling you in the practical sense, in the New Testament sense, because this is the biblical order. The biblical order is always separation, revelation. Separation, revelation. From Abraham, when he separated himself, God had another message for him. God had more of the story for his life. And when you want more of the story for your life, you understand, I've got to follow God's lead, and it never calls for me to follow in the crowd of Ahab. Okay, I know that's comforting. So, Obadiah was in the way. He went another way than Ahab, but while he is in the way, he meets Elijah. Now, that reminded me of... Eleazar, Abraham's servant. You remember him? Genesis 24, Abraham wants to get a bride for his son, so he sends his servant back to his homeland to find a lady to be a bride for his son. If you don't know the story, it's in Genesis 24. Let me give you the Cliff Note version, okay? So he sends his servant. He makes his servant, he has his servant give him some promises that you're not going to go anywhere else. This is where you need to go. And so his servant, he doesn't know who he's looking for. All he can do is pray and go the direction that his master Abraham sent him, fulfilling his responsibility. And when he finally meets Rebecca, he says this, "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." What way? The right way. And there's a right way for all of us. And that is the way you walk. And if you'll walk in that way, you'll be surprised who you'll meet. The messengers God will send. And so anyways, Elijah, and here's what I find on Elijah's end. Because when I begin the chapter, it says, God says to Elijah, go meet Ahab. But who does Elijah meet first? He doesn't meet Ahab, he meets Obadiah. Huh. It wasn't that Elijah was disobeying God. Oh, no. Obadiah needed some help. You see, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Initially, we're going to learn some things about Obadiah in verses 9 through 14. Initially, the blessing is he's going to meet the man of God who spoke this prophecy of this drought, of this famine, who has the authority of God on his life. He's going to hear God's plan for him, though it may seem so simple. But what it's going to reveal is his faith had become very, very, very weak. You know, you can fear God and still have a weak faith. We're going to see it right here. We're going to read it right here. There's a lot of people in hiding right now that are Christians. I'd like to have the Christians come out of the closet, wouldn't you? So, we read all of verse 7. It says, "And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" I want to say, I've got to believe that to Obadiah initially, this is a blessing to see the man of God. I don't know how you've read this in the past, but any man that has protected 100 prophets and that greatly feared the Lord would certainly be blessed to see Elijah, the prophet of God, when he's been absent for 3.5 years. Nobody knew where he was at, whether he was dead or alive. Now, you can disagree with me, but I think I'm on, because with the record that we read there, surely it would be uplifting to his heart. My Lord Elijah, he humbles himself and he questions, "Are you Elijah?" Maybe he's wondering if he's looking at a specter, a ghost. And Elijah confirms. We come to verse 8. "And he answered him, I am." Elijah does. "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." That's God's will for you, Obadiah. To go tell Ahab, I'm back. That doesn't sound like a lot. Oh, it was, though. That very command is going to reveal the heart of Obadiah and the struggles Obadiah has been facing. None of this is accidental. Elijah knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing when he had Elijah confront Obadiah. He knew exactly what he was doing. And nothing in your life is accidental. What we read now, verses 9 through 14, is Obadiah's reservation. He gets this revelation, oh, it's Elijah! There is hope! There is hope, and he humbles himself when he discovers you really are. And then Elijah immediately says, I want you to go tell Ahab I'm here and tell him to come meet me. It's like he loses his breath. Look at verse 9. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. It appears to be a man who has succumbed by fear. Yay or nay? He's been overcome by fear. His faith is being swallowed up with fear. He was a man that greatly feared the Lord. He still feared the Lord. He was a man who cared about the prophets of God, and he still cared about the prophets of God. When it came to this particular decision, in his mind, his understanding of Elijah was, you showed up and disappeared out of nowhere, and nobody could find you. I don't know if you might just disappear. God just, maybe I'm going to be, and he's questioning himself. Maybe this is going to, and I'm going to die because I tell Ahab you're here and you're not here. See, fear will always put the brakes on your obedience to the Lord. Always. Your witness, let me put it that way, your witness for the Lord. Remember, he lets us know that Ahab was so angry at Elijah, he had sought all nations and made them promise with an oath that they, if they see him, see Elijah, to let them know. If not, there'd be some type of judgment on those people that promised they'd turn Elijah in. So he's hanging out with a man who can't stand Elijah. He's hanging out, he's working for a man, I should say, not hanging out, he's working for this man. Now, you can say, why didn't he get another job? Well, once again, I go back to those 100 prophets whose lives were spared. They're all thankful. God is not rebuking Obadiah here, neither is Elijah. But what has to be done before rain will come? First of all, a believer, this particular believer, his faith needs to be strengthened. It's become so weak. And sometimes the only way to strengthen that faith, you need to hear the voice of authority from the Word of God say, you need to go, you need to get busy for the Lord. You need to be a witness. If God's leading you to be a witness to a parent, to a sibling, to a neighbor, if God's leading you to that, you just do it. You just do it. If God's leading you to a certain ministry, you just do it. Now, we see the restoration of his faith, and we conclude with verse 15 and 16. Elijah would assure him. In verse 15, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Let's pause and consider this. That is all Elijah had to say. He didn't have to make any other promises. He didn't even say, I'll go with you. He told Obadiah, you go tell him I'm here. And on the authority of the Lord of hosts, I'll be here. That's all he had to say. Obadiah, immediately afterward, what's he do? Does he stutter? Does he stammer? Does he question? Does he doubt? What does he do in verse 16? He goes. His faith is strengthened. His responsibility now, okay, I believe you. He goes to get Ahab. He tells Ahab, and I can only imagine this, it's not in the scripture, so we can only imagine it. Sir, Elijah the prophet is here. The way that I went, that's where he's at. I don't know what Ahab's response would have been. I think he would have been a little startled that this man of God who came out of nowhere after 3.5 years wants to meet him. But when we go into the next chapter, we see the confrontation, which we're not going to do, Lord willing, until next week. But in verse 16, I'll read it anyways. Verse 16, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. One final thought. It is significant that Ahab would meet in the way of Elijah rather than Elijah meet Ahab in his way. In a spiritual sense, God wants to help people. But if you're enjoying the far country, he's not going to help you there. Y'all got that? But if you meet him in his way, he's got a message for you. He's got a message for you. Obadiah, you go tell Ahab. Now Obadiah, he gets to meet Elijah. He wasn't going the way of Ahab. He went another way. He was being responsible. He was doing his duty. And in the way he went, Elijah says, I can meet this man. Hello? Are you Elijah? Yes. I want you to go tell Ahab, but you don't understand. I promise, on the authority of God, I'll be here. You go tell him to meet me. I just find it interesting. God allowed us to see that, because the chapter begins, God says, go show thyself to Ahab. But he's not going to show himself to Ahab in Ahab's way. No. You know, there's a way in this world. There's a way that is right unto man, but it's not right unto God. That'll never get the message of the Lord. It'll never have opportunity to hear the blessing of God. It'll live in spiritual drought until it dies. The way of fornication, the way of immorality, the way of greed, the way of covetousness, the way of envy, the way of the world, the way of just trying to fit in so that you don't create a stir. And I don't think we should try to create a stir, but I believe if we're the Christians we ought to be, it's going to happen. We're living in a day now that if you don't have piercings and tattoos, you look abnormal. You're the one that stands out. Well, you know, it's so popular. Oh, well. We're living in a day now that if you dress modest, you're the one that really stands out. And I'm not talking about homely looking. You can look nice and be modest, but just being modest. I know your favorite TV preacher hasn't said these, used these terms, and it makes you uneasy. Hey, Brother Jim, I bet the old man that pounded the pulpit did. I bet he did. We could use some old-time religion, couldn't we? But you're not going to find it in Ahab's way. You'll find a lot of prophets in Ahab's way that'll say just what you want to hear. They'll tickle your ear and make you feel comfy and cozy in sin. But if you want the way where you find spiritual refreshment, revelation, hope, purpose, you get discernment, there's going to be a little separation involved. And then there's going to be a little testing involved to strengthen your faith. Take the authority of God's word and just obey it. Just apply it. That's where God meets you, in that way. Father, I pray you bless the message. Thank you for your word, for your truth. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to examine ourselves. It is possible we can attend church and not be in the right way in our hearts. We can be in this assembly physically, but the far country mentally. You know that. You know those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I know, Father, your desire is that all of your people who have faith would have a strong faith. If we're going to have help in our country, in our church, in our own families, our faith must be shored up. And there's only one authority that can do that, and that is the authority of the Scripture. Bless us, lead, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.